everyone. I am Laura Kaluger, Senior Associate Editor with Commercial Property Executive. Welcome to another episode of our quarterly podcast on occupier and investor sentiment in real estate markets around the globe. This is a podcast series created in partnership with the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors in London. Today, we will be analyzing the results of the organization's second quarter Global Commercial Property Monitor. The unique situation the whole world is in continues to have a significant impact on the economy and commercial real estate activity. My guest today is RICS economist Tarrant Parsons. Welcome, Tarrant.
Hiya.
The pandemic led to sudden changes in the way the commercial real estate investors and tenants perceive market conditions. What is your general view on what happened over the past 3 months? What is the message coming through from the latest survey?
As you would imagine, given all the negative effects of the pandemic and the associated lockdown measures, we have seen sentiment within commercial real estate deteriorate very significantly during Q2. The balance between demand and supply has shifted, with demand dropping quite dramatically at the headline level, at least. Obviously, we caught some of the impact of the pandemic in the results last time, but really, as the situation, it kind of, as it happened, escalated right in the middle of our survey collection window. For that reason, the Q1 results were a bit of a transition, were mixed in with some trends kind of seen prior to the outbreak. Now this time, I think the Q2 returns are much more reflective of the disruption that has been caused, and are therefore altogether more downbeat, or cautious, I should say, on the outlook for commercial property markets, at least over the near term.
And how significant is the decline in the second quarter compared to the previous one? How does this quarter compare to the same quarter of 2019?
Yeah, well, I mean, the quarter-on-quarter decline or downturn across our indicators on average is right up there with the most dramatic that we've seen since our global survey began in 2008. And in so many parts of the world now, the feedback really is suggesting that the current set of circumstances that we have, they are the most challenging since the global financial crisis, although that's not really a surprise given some of the quite shocking trends that we've seen emerge, such as the really sharp rise in unemployment across the United States and other countries. If you were to go back to this time last year, then I think certainly there wasn't any indication or thinking that the global economy or commercial property markets were in store for such a sudden and sweeping downturn, but that is the position we're in now.
The shift in perception seems to be very significant for retail. Shelter-in-place orders and other measures taken to contain the spread of the virus had quite an impact on this sector, which had already been suffering since the rise of e-commerce. Past surveys have highlighted this worsening trend in the retail sector. Could you please tell us more about this?
Yeah, as you say, the retail sector prior to all of this was already going through an incredibly difficult period of adjustment, I would say, as shopping habits and consumer preferences were changing. I think really the pandemic's compounded this, and the fact that many physical stores, maybe outside of those providing food and essentials, in fact, they were forced into a period of closure. That's just hit revenues of some retailers that really weren't in a position to absorb that cost to begin with, and has really forced many more into kind of financial difficulty. And I think even as lockdown measures ease now, we haven't seen footfall return to anything like pre-crisis levels. And so inevitably, all of that's going to put upward pressure on retail vacancy rates, and obviously fresh demand to take up retail space, to occupy retail space, is going to suffer in such an environment as well. So bringing that all together, understandably, the outlook for retail rents is deeply negative now, right across the globe, just reflecting how difficult the backdrop is across the sector.
And alongside retail, the hospitality industry has also been hit hard by the pandemic. Have expectations for this sector changed in the past few months?
We actually added hotels as a category in the survey this quarter for the first time. So historically, we've been gathering insights on trends across the more traditional sectors, office, industrial and retail. But now we've expanded this. As it is the kind of first quarter that hotels have been looked at in our survey, I can't really give you any insights on how expectations have changed, because we didn't record these. But what I can say is that projections at this point in time are very pessimistic for hotels. I think in most cases, we're talking about the outlook for capital values and rents being as negative, if not more negative, than those for retail, at least over the next 12 months. So the near-term outlook really is kind of hamstrung by travel restrictions. And obviously, there is likely to be a sharp drop in tourism spending this year globally. So that's really challenging for the next 12 months. Hopefully, that will just be an issue for that kind of time frame rather than being a longer-term structural factor for the sector, and then it can begin to recover further out. But unfortunately, alongside retail, hotels really are going through a difficult time right now as well.
Office is another commercial real estate sector that has been severely disturbed by the pandemic. What is the general sentiment among office investors and tenants?
Well, given how many office-based roles will have been forced into a period of remote working since the pandemic started, I think there's a lot of interest or speculation right now in terms of how all of that may play out across the office sector longer term. What we see right now from our survey results is that demand from both tenants and investors has fallen sharply across offices. And I would say actually that the turnaround is probably the most dramatic across any sector that we cover. Obviously, the retail sector still displays more outright negativity, if you want to put it that way, but it was already very weak beforehand. For offices, we had a generally favourable outlook prior to the crisis, and that's been completely turned on its head, and it does look as if offices could be in store for a real shake-up going forward.
And how do respondents envision the future for the office sector? Will there be any changes in how the office looks like?
Respondents, they're pretty cautious for the prospects right now, generally speaking. I think that there's no escaping the idea that prices for office assets and rents as well are set for a period of downward adjustment. I think longer term, a lot of businesses will of course be reevaluating the amount of space needed and also the type of office setup that they will provide their employees. But I think that'll take a little bit of time for the future direction on that to become clear.
Also, is a shift from urban to suburban highly probable?
Yeah, well, we asked if our respondents felt that there would be an increase in demand for offices in more suburban locations in place of that across or demand across highly populated urban centres. And at the global level, there was quite a widely held view that we would see that shift taking place. I think it was around two thirds of our contributors globally were of that opinion. If you break it down a little bit further, I think it's just over 50% were kind of somewhat inclined to think that we would see suburban office demand displacing the demand in heavily built up areas. And it was a more modest kind of 10% that felt very strongly that we would see that shift. But overall, certainly there is the perception that urban locations could lose out to less densely populated areas in terms of office demand going forward.
You mentioned office demand, and there have been so many debates around this topic. Some experts expect a surge in office space demand as employees will need to continue to practice social distancing. And at the same time, others expect office space demand to deteriorate as working from home proved to be quite beneficial for many companies. What's the most prevalent sentiment among your respondents in the latest survey?
Yeah, so again, we tried to shed some light on that particular issue through additional questions, and I think the findings were really quite interesting. So our survey participants are very much of the view that the recent events will lead to a reduction in office space requirements. Actually, I think it's 86% of our survey participants globally did feel the businesses would look to scale back their office footprint to some extent over the next 2 years. And then within this, although I would stress this is highly speculative at this stage, I think the most prevalent or widespread expectation was that this reduction could be between 5 and 10%. So we're not talking about the death of the office sector, but still quite a significant reduction in space requirements that will have real repercussions more generally if that were to come to fruition. On your point regarding social distancing, I think generally the view is that not all workers are likely to return to the workplace once restrictions have been eased, and some will prefer to stay working at home. And so rather than having to take up more space to allow for social distancing, just the absence of the total workforce or some members of the workforce would allow for that social distancing to take place. So the message come from the survey is we will see a reduction in office space requirements.
For those who will decide to return to offices, although there will be fewer, of course, as you said. This return will come with a cost. In which countries are respondents more confident that tenants will be willing to shoulder the costs for all the necessary enhancements for safer and more well-being oriented office spaces?
I think, well, the honest answer to that is there aren't many nations or markets in which respondents overall really expect that it will be the tenants covering that cost. I think a majority of survey contributors expect that burden, that cost to fall on landlords in most markets that we cover. Now, there is a little bit of variation within that. Perhaps across the United States, for example, opinions were more divided on that one, but I can't really say a consensus was found there. While if you look at the results across Europe, these were more clear cut. But still, I would highlight that in a majority of cases, respondents expect landlords to cover the costs and feel that tenants wouldn't really be willing to accept higher rents for those adaptations.
At the other end of the spectrum, the industrial sector seems to be weathering the COVID-19 storm far better than others. What is the general sentiment among professionals in the industrial segment?
Yes, very clearly we do see a lot more resilience across the industrial sector, even if in the near term, the immediate future, it's unlikely to come through the crisis completely unscathed, you know, given the sheer extent of the fall in economic kind of output and spending that we're likely to see. So, you know, a little bit of near-term disruption, but certainly longer-term logistics are going to continue to benefit from the kind of the tailwinds, the positive structural elements for in that area that we've seen. You know, if anything, they've been accelerated by the pandemic, that switch to e-commerce. So I think that industrials or logistics specifically, that's one area that it is quite straightforward to make a positive assessment for at once, as I say, the initial disruption has dissipated. And I would expect industrials to be much quicker or earlier to recover and then kick on from there compared to virtually all other market segments, really.
The survey mentioned that the industrial and logistics industry has already returned to positive territory at a global level, but there were significant differences at a country level. Which countries are the top performers and why do you think that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we do have a number of examples. I think we're particularly talking about prime industrial properties here, where the outlook for rents and capital values is actually positive to some extent over the next 12 months. Some examples of that would be Germany, the UK, United States, France would be another example, where respondents are expecting positive growth even throughout this period in the industrial sector. With respect to why this is the case, it's not entirely clear, but it is interesting to note that these are all markets in which that shift away from retail spending in physical stores and onto online was perhaps more advanced than others going into the crisis. And that positive outlook at this point could be a reflection of their kind of ability to adapt to this further kind of acceleration in the trend brought about by the pandemic. So those are my thoughts on that.
Another sector that hasn't been so severely impacted by the coronavirus, at least until now, is multifamily. In the US, for example, the Senate passed a historic relief package in March, which helped households pay their rent until now. However, this kind of federal help cannot be permanent, of course. How have rent collections performed across other parts of the world? What are the expectations for this sector going forward?
Yeah, I'm sure there have been kind of many issues around collection of rent payments worldwide in the residential sector. But unfortunately, yeah, there aren't really many comprehensive statistics on that topic to give you any kind of precise gauge on exactly what proportion have gone unpaid during the period. But as you say, I think government support measures are likely hiding the true extent of the problem, and that may then become clear once they are removed. But I think generally speaking, expectations across the multifamily sector are less downbeat than other portions of the commercial real estate market. If we take Germany, for instance, which obviously has one of the larger investable kind of multifamily sectors, respondents, they're anticipating a relatively modest pullback across the sector over the coming year. If you look at the UK, I think expectations are slightly weaker than that, but still a lot more resilient in comparison to offices, retail, hotels, and even student housing. So I think while there are still kind of clouds on the horizon for multifamily and that sector, I think it's expected to hold up generally better than other areas, even if it's not quite bucking the trend like industrials.
And meanwhile, data centers consistently receive the most positive feedback. What can you tell us about this trend?
Yeah, I think data centers, like logistics, I think they're an example where kind of beyond this immediate disruption of the pandemic, we are likely to see structural dynamics continuing to boost and support demand. You know, we're seeing almost exponential growth in the volume of data that's being used and processed, and that is obviously clearly driving demand for data centers worldwide, as you know, we need purpose-built properties to store that the infrastructure that enables all of this. So longer term, I would put data centers alongside logistics or industrial as an example of a real estate asset class that's likely to kind of continue to outperform other perhaps more traditional sectors due to the mainly to the ever-growing digital needs of the global economy.
Let's focus a bit on how particular markets performed in the second quarter. What countries are still considered safe for investment?
Well, at this point in time, I think it is pretty difficult to make judgments purely on kind of location, because even within national markets, there's huge divergence between the different sectors. So, for instance, you could highlight the capital values in Switzerland at the all property level aren't, you know, expected to fall that steeply compared to a lot of other countries, but you'd still be taking quite a large risk if you invested in the retail portion of the Swiss market, for instance, where expectations are kind of deeply negative there. So I think it's tricky in that regard. What I feel is probably going to be most important going forward is how successful, you know, various governments are in keeping the spread of the virus under control while opening up their economies. And in that respect, I think New Zealand stands out, although that's clearly quite a small market on a global scale. So in Europe, maybe Germany would perhaps be a better example of where they've done quite well up to now in stemming the spread of the virus, and they've kept the level of fatalities much lower than in nearby countries. And then we've seen investment demand has not suffered quite so much in Germany as elsewhere. But again, I'm not saying investments in these markets are without risk. It's just that at this point in time, we know that could change all of a sudden, but at this point in time, these risks appear to be better contained than elsewhere.
And how do things stand in China, particularly since China was the first country affected by the pandemic, but also the first to rebound? So it is at least a stage ahead in reopening its economy. What's the current situation there?
Yeah, that's quite right. And China is a few months ahead of the rest of the world in dealing with the pandemic and the economic repercussions, shall we say. But in terms of our survey results, unfortunately, we don't see too much in the way of a recovery coming through as yet. I would say most of our indicators in China have stabilized. So, I mean, they haven't gotten worse between Q1 and Q2, but I think sentiment still remains generally negative, although maybe there's been a slight increase in the share of our respondents that feel the market may be starting to improve. Those are still heavily outweighed by the share that feel conditions are still turning down. So not much movement in an upward direction yet, but you could argue that we've seen a more stable picture coming through there.
You mentioned New Zealand a few minutes ago. This country was among the first whose leaders declared the end of the pandemic. Indeed, this is a small country, but is there anything you could tell us about investor sentiment across New Zealand?
Sure, yeah, so New Zealand, definitely an example where investment risks appear to be slightly less heightened than in other international markets. But still, if you look at the detail of the results there, I think away from the industrial sector, investor sentiment is still pretty gloomy, even in New Zealand. And I think that just emphasizes the fact that this is a global economic downturn, and in a situation where so many countries or economies are in recession and they're all major trading partners to other economies, you know, it's very difficult for anyone to escape this, given how interconnected the world is. But certainly you would see room for an earlier recovery in areas such as New Zealand, as life there has returned to the type of normality that seems to still be a long, long way off in so many other parts of the world.
Let's return to Europe, which we saw the most deterioration compared with the first quarter. What does this mean for investors across the globe?
Yeah, well, Europe for a long while was where we saw some of the strongest market conditions being reported on that kind of global comparison. And that was a fairly consistent trend for at least the last couple of years. So I think the fact that the deterioration has been most pronounced across Europe is more of a reflection that of where conditions stood at the start of the pandemic. So in essence, expectations have gone from relatively buoyant to very negative, whereas in other world regions, expectations have come down from a lower starting point. So I wouldn't see Europe as a whole as suffering to a far greater extent than other world regions necessarily. Because the fallout really is widespread everywhere. But in comparison to the strong outlook returns at the end of last year in Europe, I think maybe it was a little bit slower to react to the initial stages of the pandemic sentiment there than in other areas. But the Q2 results certainly have shown a catching up and a significant adjustment in that regard.
And within Europe, the UK seems to be a special case. Brexit officially happened in January, but the UK is now in a transition period until the end of 2020. The coronavirus outbreak seems to have added another layer of distress. What can you tell us about investor sentiment in the UK now?
Yes, it certainly is a unique case in the UK. But I think talk about Brexit and what trading terms the UK will switch to at the end of this transition period really does seem to have been superseded, understandably so, by the pandemic. But if you do look at the latest news specifically on Brexit, mainly it's just suggesting there's some frustration from the EU side about the lack of kind of tangible progress that they've seen from the latest round of trade talks. Although if you read the messaging coming from the UK government, they're insisting that they're still on course to put a deal together. Either way, they don't have much time to move. I think they'll probably need a draft agreement by October at the latest. But what direction this goes in is still very much up in the air at the moment. In terms of how investors view the UK, at this stage, I think it's very similar to a lot of other markets. We see that split between the retail and office sectors being very challenged right now. Industrial, not so much. But we've seen a real steep fall in investment inquiries, both domestically and from international buyers as well. And there isn't much kind of sign of when this may turn for the better, but it is difficult to distinguish any kind of Brexit impact within that. And I think that could be more of a flashpoint that could emerge, if not in Q3, by the end of Q4, if an agreement hasn't been outlined.
And what's the situation in the US? The latest survey mentioned Orlando as one of the last metros in the US likely to recover. Please tell us what makes this market unique and why do you expect things to be so grim there?
Yeah, where I think the US market generally differs slightly from others across the globe is that there currently is a lot of concern about the kind of re-acceleration in coronavirus cases. And it's not just due to the increased testing and because we see numbers on fatalities also back on the rise. And we haven't really seen a sustained pickup in outbreaks after the first peak has subsided in many other countries that we cover, although there are some areas in Europe, I think Spain, for example, now where kind of recent data is a bit worrying and needs watching for sure. But obviously, it just feeds into the perception if more lockdowns are or closures are required to kind of control the virus, and of course, that will bring about further negative economic effects. So I would say that's more of a concern in the US right now, although likely I think we'll eventually see this reemergence elsewhere sooner or later as well. For Orlando in particular, I think it's mainly the importance of tourism that was highlighted as a real challenge, seeing as visitor numbers are unlikely to recover anytime soon. And that's weighing very heavily on the outlook there. But clearly, that's not just a problem for Orlando. Any market in which tourism has a disproportionate impact on the economy is likely to really feel the effects more than others.
Around two-thirds of global respondents to the survey now view the commercial property market as being in the downturn phase of the cycle. What are the arguments behind this perception?
Yeah, I think the simplest argument is that these perceptions are being driven by the sharpest economic downturn since records began. In most cases, I think in the vast majority of nations, when we see Q2 GDP figures come out, they are likely to show a contraction, which far outstrips that seen during the global financial crisis, which in itself was a hugely significant economic event, but this seems to kind of dwarf that. So in an environment where unemployment is rising so rapidly, your occupier demand undoubtedly going to suffer, and businesses that are under pressure financially, they're going to be forced to kind of rein in spending to kind of secure their financial position. And all of that, unfortunately, does not bode particularly well for commercial real estate. So I think we're in the midst of one of those rare periods, which is such a significant global event that all countries now exhibit a majority of respondents that feel the market is in a downturn. What'll be interesting from this point forward is to note the different speeds and rates of recovery.
What are your predictions for the third quarter? Do you expect any improvements?
Sadly, if I were to take a steer from the data that we have in China, I'm personally not expecting too much in the way of a noticeable improvement by the end of Q3. Perhaps that's a little bit too soon. Hopefully, we'll at least see some of the negativity diminishing to a certain degree. But I feel that a recovery may be a bit of a slow burner, particularly until there's kind of a working vaccine, and we still have a lot of fears around a second wave. And they're quite widespread fears. So I'm sure many economic indicators are going to be recovering somewhat from the lows that they hit while lockdowns were at their most stringent by that point. But I think trends are unlikely to rebound to pre-pandemic levels for quite some time, in my opinion. We could be talking a couple of years at least. So on the back of that, I find it difficult to envisage a particularly strong rebound in Q3. We may have to wait a few more quarters before we see a very significant upturn, unfortunately.
We will certainly all look forward to see how soon the economy recovers. Thank you very much for all your comments, Tarrant.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. Until our next chat, visit cpexecutive.com for more podcasts, interviews, and news articles.